I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we heard it on the street, a sidewalk debate about faith. But first, it's time for our weekly check-in with the Mocha Moms. We turn to them every week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. This week, a question we bet a lot of stay-at-home moms are asking themselves. Is there something I could do to generate income while I stay at home? A listener actually brought this question to us. She wanted to know what legitimate business opportunities are available for parents who want to be at home but still have an income. We didn't know, so we invited Nell Merlino to drop in on the Mocha Moms. She's founder of the popular Take Your Daughter to Work Day, and she currently helps women launch or grow their businesses through her nonprofit organization, Count Me In. She joins us from our NPR New York Bureau, along with our regular Mocha Moms, Jolene Ivey, co-founder of the Mocha Moms, a mother of five, Davina McFarlane, Mocha member, a mother of three, and Shelley English Figaro, president emerita of Mocha Moms and a mother of three. Welcome all.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, let's start with you. What is driving the women entrepreneurs who seek you out? Is it the desire for a more balanced lifestyle, more independence, more time to parent? Is that a big part of it?
It certainly is. For women with children, the attraction of having a business at home or having their own business is very, very powerful, because if you set it up right, you can set your business schedule to your family schedule. We have a mom of six who runs a construction business who has, this summer as an example, she has set up, so she goes to work at 5:45 in the morning, is finished by 1, and spends all afternoon at the pool with her children.
Wow.
And you only can do that if you're the boss. And I have hundreds of examples of women who have their own businesses who structured them so that it works around their children's school schedule. It's a wonderful way to have fulfillment and more money and some level of financial independence, and in some cases a great level of financial independence, as well as having quality time to spend with your children and your family.
You know, you make it sound like nirvana. Clearly, it's harder than that. There are some particular challenges, aren't there, to running your own business. So what are they?
The challenges are, one, you've got to have a vision and figure out what your business is and what it is that you really want to do. What do you want to sell? Is it a service? Is it a product? And then where do you want to do it? And how big is your vision? How big do you want to grow? And then sort of assembling the people and the resources you need to build that business. And it can start very small and grow pretty fast. People have lots of different options.
Now, how does your organization work? Now, you started out as a micro lender. Now, this is,
yes,
I think, a concept that I think a lot of people are familiar with overseas.
Yes.
In the less developed countries where a nonprofit such as yourself offers a source of financing for women who otherwise would not be able to have it. But how does it work here?
It works in two ways. We have this new program called Make Money $1 Million Businesses, which is for women who have businesses that are already at about $200,000 to $250,000 in revenue, who've gotten kind of stuck and want to grow faster. We've had such a big response to Make Money $1 Million from women who weren't quite ready for you know, who weren't at $250,000 in revenue. So we've taken our microloan concept now, and women who apply to Make Money $1 Million who aren't at $200,000 have an opportunity to get a microloan and a year's worth of coaching from Count Me In to grow their business and get it established in a way that it'll really be sustaining for them.
Starting a business and being present, fully present at home, sometimes just seems just like incompatible to me. I understand the desire for more independence and certainly financial
and
empowerment, but I don't know. I'm just wondering whether
10.5 million women do it. Women, that's 48% of all businesses. 10.5 million women do it.
But are they giving themselves ulcers? Is the question.
I think a lot of them are not. I have been so surprised every place I go because every audience that we speak in front of, this question comes up. And the women who are part of our program answer the question, not me, because I don't think I'd be married and have the stepkids I have if I hadn't started my own business, because it gave me the time. Because when you're driving your own schedule, because the point that's been made about having a separate place in the house to do the business and having childcare, if you have those things, if you can figure out how to do those things, because women who have children are the best at organizing themselves and getting a lot done in a short amount of time.
Shelley, you wanted to say something.
Right. I agree. One thing you really have to realize is that you must be disciplined. There's no way to do this without really trying to draw some very heavy lines between you as mom slash housekeeper slash person who has to cook every day slash the person who has to do the laundry slash person who has to pick up the dry cleaning versus you, the business person. And so you really have to be disciplined when you're doing your work. I think Neil's right in the sense that if you have that determination and you have that focus, you could do it. I went to a seminar and a woman told me a really great analogy. She was saying when you have your own business, you have to think of your time as either red time, yellow, and blue, right? Yellow time is mommy time. Red time is work time. And when you try to put red and yellow together, it's orange time. And guess what? That's crazy time. You can't wear two hats. So that's really what I think about.
That's interesting. Now, Marlena, you sent us some very interesting statistics. You said that women own 48% of all businesses in the United States. I was surprised by that. I had no idea. And that women-owned businesses employ approximately 27 million people. I think that's also quite remarkable. But are there some particularly popular strategies for stay-at-home moms who want to have some kind of business activity?
There certainly are. I think some of the most important things are to make sure you have a separate place, whether it is, you know, the garage, the basement, the attic, someplace where you can close the door and do your work. The second piece, I think, is being very clear about what you want to accomplish. I think an awful lot of women get started and are surprised that people want to buy their products or get their services and then start to struggle to figure out how to handle it. When in fact, we know enough now to help you really plan. I can't tell you the number of moms who have setups where they know that they only work from 9 to 3. They drop the kids off at school. They come home. They work. When they pick the kids up, it's done. So there are lots of different ways to do this.
We're talking to the Mocha Moms about business opportunities for women who stay at home. Shelley Mishfigaro, your husband is an emergency room physician and you...
ICU.
ICU. He owns a practice and
he employs other doctors.
Right, and you
and
help
service,
run the practice. Right,
and, right. I work from home and I've worked from home for my husband full-time and part-time for about 8 years. One of the things that Nell said, I have to just say amen. The other thing I would add is that moms really have to be clear that they need childcare.
Yes.
That is something
Absolutely.
That is a lot of times at-home moms figure, oh, well, I'm home and I can do it. Just, you know, the baby's here, but we'll do whatever. No, you must have some type of childcare established if you want to accomplish anything. So you can get up at 4 a.m. and you can put your hours in. And then you can stay up really late at night and put the rest of your hours in. And you could do that for a while, but you might break down after a while.
It doesn't sound like Nirvana.
It doesn't sound like Nirvana. Jolene, talk to me about, you're a public relations professional. Before now you're in public office again. You're a state legislator now, which is a responsibility you took on this year. But before, when you were working full-time, did you ever consider doing that from home or part-time, or did you?
I did do it from home for a while a few years ago when my youngest was, you know, just about in school. I started doing it from home, and it was really, really difficult. And I didn't have the good sense to get childcare like I should have. I was just juggling everything at once, and, you know, something was bound to hit me in the head. Somehow I made it through, and it was just hard.
Davina, what about you? Now, you were a teacher before you decided to stay home. Do you ever think about going back or part time? I guess, I don't know. What? Tutoring, something like that?
My youngest child is starting first grade this year. So I was home alone with no outside job for 1 year. And that was exciting and interesting. And now I'm ready for something else. So I am considering, there's a program with children who are incapacitated in some form or fashion that they can't come to school. The county provides them an in-home tutor, kind of like homeschooling, but with the public school. So I am considering that. It's an awesome opportunity only because you get to set your own days. You know, you only need to see your student 3 days out of the week, so you pick the 3 days.
Now, let me pick up on that, though. Is that something that, as an avenue for people who have a skill like Davina, but could she presumably do that as a business? As opposed to as an employee of some larger entity?
I was thinking of two businesses that we already have in our Make Money Million Dollar Business program. And it's a woman who had an experience that I know thousands and thousands of women have had, that they get transferred or their husband gets transferred somewhere and they have to move really quickly. And one of the things that she found most difficult was finding schools for her children. She had 6 weeks to move, and she had children that were in, I think, sixth grade and fourth grade. And it was such a difficult transition for the children. She has set up a business that is now almost at a million, where she helps parents do that across the country and around the world. So she had an experience with education, but we have a number of other businesses where teachers have developed software or training programs that they go around and do. And I'm sure there's a route. I know there are teachers and people who specialize working with children with autism who have their own businesses who work with children at home. So I certainly think there's a way to do it. But the option that you have sounds actually kind of wonderful. So I would say that, you know, try that. And if it really works, maybe you want to branch out on your own after you see how it works and see a way to generate more income, or you see a different way that you want to do the work. But if that system works for you and you can set your own schedule, I would say, obviously, go for it.
Davina, you have any final thoughts about this? Are you hearing anything that kind of gets your juices flowing?
I have a question, actually, yeah. And that is, give us some examples of businesses that women have started at home. Other than, you know, we all know about the direct sales.
Sure, that's a good point. That's a good point, Nell, and I'm hoping that phone sex won't be part of that list.
Great example. I can give you a great example. I am carrying a purse. I wish I could show it to all of you. It was made by a new mother of twins who was very frustrated about finding a diaper bag to carry all the bottles and food that she needed for two babies. And she kept buying diaper bags and they didn't work. The bottles would spill, the food, everything. She was emptying her dishwasher one night and took the silver separator, you know, the silver tray out of her dishwasher, put it in a bag, and she was able to stand the bottles up in it. She has gone and made a purse that's called the Butler bag that's... She's now done over $1 million in sales. And that's something she did out of her home. She went, obviously, to find somebody to make the bag. But the opportunities that are out there and the businesses, I'm looking at a picture of a woman right now. Her name's Amelia Seha. She came to the United States as a migrant worker at age 12, worked in the fields in California. She now has her own vineyard where she lives. And she's an over $1 million business. You almost name a business. You can start it in your house. Sometimes it doesn't stay there. You can start it where you live. Sometimes it grows out of there. Sometimes it can stay there. It depends on how big it gets and what you want. There's a mom in Chicago. She worked in the hospice business. She had their fourth child. She decided she couldn't do that anymore. She started an online bereavement business where she helps people buy sympathy gifts online. She's already at $600,000 in revenue, and her kids like help her pack the boxes. She still does it out of
her
house.
What I'm hearing now from you is that look around.
You really?
A lot of times the clue is close to home. The clue is right there, wherever it is that you are. If you're looking around at your own life, what could you use? What do you need? What do your friends need?
Also, what do you know? What do you know? I think the important thing is we underestimate the value of what we already know from our work experience and our experience as parents and daughters and whatever. What do we know that's valuable to us and to other people? Because if it's valuable to you, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be valuable to somebody else.
Oh, thanks for the question, Davina. That's good. Jolene, you have any final thoughts?
I would just say, Nell, thank you for starting this. It's really empowering. It makes me feel like, wow, $250,000 business, and you still need help? I find that's amazing.
You do, and that's okay.
But yeah,
you know what the most, if you want to grow your business, the most important thing to do is reach out for help, because big companies have boards of directors. They have all kinds of staff and consultants. And if you want to grow, there are a lot of people out there that want to help you that don't necessarily want to charge you money. They want to see you grow too. You never stop needing advice, counsel, new ideas. And there are lots of people out there who want to share them. I mean, that's why the organization is growing at the rate that it is, because we offer that.
Okay. Now, I could have used that bag.
This bag is the coolest thing. I have gotten rid of all my bags.
Nell Merlino, she's the president and co-founder of Count Me In. It's a nonprofit that aims to help women entrepreneurs. She joined us from our NPR New York Bureau. And also with us today, as usual, Jolene Ivey, co-founder of the Mocha Moms, Davina McFarlane, Mocha Moms member, and Shelley English Figaro, Mocha Moms president emerita. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. See you next
time.
Thank
you.
You can find out more information about Nell and the Mocha Moms at our website, npr.org/tellmemore.